Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And we're back. It's Divine Intervention, and once again we are in the Cape. Once again we have some much-loved guests in the Joburg studio, and once again we will be crossing down to Cape Town to talk to the expert who selects all these wines for us, as well as doing all sorts of other interesting food, wine, writing, promotion, all sorts of stuff. He is, of course, the inimitable Michael Olivier.
John, hello. Nice to be with you all.
Nice to talk to you, Michael. I suppose I should have tried to do an imitation of you then, just to prove that you're not inimitable, but I didn't, so let's move swiftly on to introduce the studio guests. We have, from Clientele, Malcolm McDonald, who is also to blame, or sorry, to thank for all our technical wizardry. We have Jeremy Sampson, a legend in his own lunchtime, as one Fleet Street hack used to call himself. And last, certainly not least, Mike Schussler.
Thank you.
Welcome, gentlemen. Okay, Michael, we are at an estate which I think is pretty well known and produces pretty good stuff, I hope. It is Delheim. We're starting with a white. I think it's a Chenin Blanc or Chenin Blanc. Tell us about it.
Well, it's what they don't put it on the label, but they call it wild ferment, which of course means that they use the natural vineyard yeasts to do the fermentation, and this of course adds to the grapes come from our estate, from our soil. We're even fermenting with our own yeast, which I think helps towards that sort of feeling of terroir that makes Delheim so special. Now, this is the grapes here are handpicked, destalked, and then very, very lightly pressed. And then they take it to settle out overnight. Spontaneous fermentation takes place at low temperatures. They take some to stainless steel tanks, and then some to previous filled 225 and 500 litre French oak barrels. So they leave it there for 7 months in the barrels, and then they blend the two together. So you've got you've got that sort of brushing of oak, and you've got the nice freshness from the tank wine. They do a sort of a minor filtration before bottling. I think it's beautifully packed, nice looking bottle, screw capped, burgundy shaped bottle. In the glass, it's a pale golden straw with some sort of green flashes going on there. Get it up to your nose and you get lovely ripe white fleshed peaches, grapefruit skin oil, and then the whole mouthfeel is rich and layered, wonderful fruit, and that lovely supportive oak underneath. And in the aftertaste, you get that nice sort of mineral fullness to the wine. I think this is a really, really good glass of wine.
I think you're really, really, really right, Michael. I love it. It's a superb white. It's got everything I look for in a white. It's not too in-your-face and fruity and sweety and all of that. It's laid back, it's refined, it's elegant. Reminds me of me, Jeremy Sampson.
And I like the self-confident, understated label. The hero is Delheim, which I totally agree with, because after all, of all the wine estates, it's got one of the best heritages. Interesting on the label as well that it actually admits to being from South Africa. A lot of labels I've been looking at lately have relegated South Africa to the back. But coming back to the wine, I'm finding it pretty gorgeous. On the nose, it really is something special. To me, this is an absolute class act. And it's so nice to be drinking a Chenin Blanc that isn't months old, it's actually years old. It's a 2014. And it makes a difference.
It does.
Not quite as years old as you, though, Jeremy.
Oh, it's got a way to go.
Mr. Schussler.
100% in agreement. This is a brilliant, brilliant wine, a brilliant estate, one of the better places to visit in the Cape. Certainly, I really look out for this label. I look out for this these wines that the winemaker makes here. I am biased, so let's leave it. I think it's one of the better wine farms in the world, never mind South Africa.
Well, I think you quite like that then. Malcolm McDonald, are you in agreement, or are you going to be a lone voice in the wilderness?
I'm going to be contrary today, I think. Well, I'm not sure. As Michael was describing it, and you were saying it's sort of half made this way and half made that way, I kind of made sense to me because I couldn't decide whether I liked it or not. So probably one of the halves I would have really loved and the other half I might not have liked, but I'm a bit ambivalent on it. It's not bad in any way, shape or form. It's just something I can't decide about. It's got too much going on for me right now.
Okay, well, that was a very, very clear maybe from Malcolm McDonald, but I think you're still outvoted.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, Michael Olivier, I don't know if you ever watched that show Only Fools and Horses.
Yes.
Well, I have to say Delheim is a lot more sophisticated than Del Boy. How's that? Moving swiftly from that terrible joke onto what I think is going to be a pretty stunning red. Tell us about it, Michael.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think this is one of the wines of Stellenbosch. Stellenbosch are very hot on Cabernet, and they're fabulous Cabernet Sauvignon wines. And the Delheim Grand Reserve 2013, it's not a wine that they make every year. Sometimes it has other grapes blended into it, but this is a 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. And I just feel that being 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, coming from Delheim, this is a sort of benchmark. I think if you hit this amongst a bottle of some of the sort of top French chateaus, it would probably be hard to point out as a wine, from somewhere else. The grapes go into upright fermenters. They're picked by hand, which of course maintains the integrity of the fruit. And then during that fermentation process, they do the pump overs and the rack and returns in order to extract as much color, flavor, and obviously tannin as well. It then goes into 300 liter French oak barrels, of which about 30% of them are new. And here you've got a classical Stellenbosch, Simonsberg, Cabernet. There's sort of berries and spice. It's got the pencil shavings. It's got that lovely sort of Fynbos herbal undertow, that beautifully structured palate. The tannins are elegant and fine and beautifully interwoven with the oak. And then on the finish, you just get that little burst of black currant, which really just says to you, hey, I'm a Cabernet. This is an exceptional wine.
Well, it's nice to drink a South African wine that has shat on the chateaus. I really, really like this, Michael. As you know, I like these rich, heavy Cabernet-type wines. This is absolutely superb. I can't say much more than that. Just next time arrange for us to get a case for tasting, not just a bottle. Jeremy Sampson.
Again, Delheim, the name precedes, the quality, the pedigree. Beautiful wine. But I dare anyone to take a mouthful of this wine into their mouth. Now, normally, especially if you're out with food, you're sipping away. Take a mouthful of this and it really lights you up.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And then it lingers in a very nice way in the mouth as well. So I agree with John, and I would actually like a case myself.
Well, that's a very, very good explanation for your red nose, Jeremy. You took a mouthful of wine. Mike Schüssler.
I'm stunned for words. It is absolutely stunning. It is absolutely brilliant wine. I had this in one of the restaurants in Stellenbosch some years ago, and I remember the occasion. I remember the clients. The steak was beautiful. The wine is exceptional. I won't say any more. It's just stunning.
Michael McDonald, will you say something, please?
I can say something. I mean, as Michael was describing it, I was trying to think, what is the flavor in this thing that's making me feel so nostalgic and good. And I think maybe it's the primary school memories with the pencil shavings or something. But this really, you just take a mouthful of this and feel fantastic. It's just a really nice, heartwarming, comfortable set of flavors that they've got going on here. It's just beautiful.
Okay, well, we've spoken about the two Delheim wines. Michael, I was recently doing some reading, and something that quite annoyed me was, I think it was some American food writer who was saying, don't go for the house wine, it's normally going to be rubbish. Now, my philosophy is that if a restaurant has rubbish house wine, it's a crap restaurant. Before we get your views, let's just ask Jeremy Sampson on that.
Well, John, as you know, I've just come back from 2 weeks in the UK, and at 22.6 rand to £1, I was being pretty careful what I was drinking. And I have to admit that a lot of the time I was drinking house wine, which was invariably Italian, and it gave Italian wine a bad name. I was actually shocked how probably half the wines I tasted I wasn't happy with at all. And I have to say that coming back to South Africa, one of the first things I did was open a good bottle of wine. And I don't think, you know, we've said this before on this program, we don't appreciate the quality of South African wines. Yeah. It's difficult today to get a bad South African wine and at very affordable prices. Yes, the prices seem to be going up quite dramatically at the moment at the top end, but you can still get some very drinkable, affordable wines at the bottom end.
Well, moving from the bottom end to Mike Schüssler. You enjoy,
I've been to a restaurant that's reasonable and that's had crappy house wine, and I've had to tell restaurants that your bottled wine is worse than the box wine. And I would agree with one thing, that very often those restaurants are unsophisticated, for lack of a better word, idiots running the place, and they don't know what they're doing. But the one thing I noticed about South African wine, I was in Germany and I was charged €27 for a very cheap South African wine, whom I shall not mention. It was not too bad. But the point is, you know, our wines are better. And this Delheim wine, this one that we have in the Grand Reserve, is in the top class. I am saying nothing more. I think if you make this the house wine of your restaurant, you are going to be in the top 10 of restaurants in the world.
Well, you'd have to have squillionaires like Samson and McDonald's eating there to afford this as a house wine. This for me would be a special occasion wine until I win the lottery, when it'll be three times a day. Malcolm, any thoughts on the wine of the day or the house wine?
I'm not sure. I think there's some restaurants can make a mistake and be you have a great chef but choose poor wines. But in general, I've found the good restaurants have great house wines. So, if you just can't make up your mind when you're at a good restaurant, choose the house wine, see how you go. I think it should be all right.
Michael Olivier, there are people around who will give good advice to restaurants, you being one of them, and tell them exactly how they should structure their wine list, maybe even advise them on a good house wine, or maybe even help them get in contact with a producer who will put their own label on a wine.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's not. But, you know, people, and I'm generalizing, restaurants don't want advice. They're not prepared to pay for it, first of all. We used to, for our house wine, which we served in a 250 milliliter carafe, we used to use bin ends from a previous wine list. So we were serving, you know, any good quality wine that we had on the list, you could have as a wine by the glass after the wine had come off the list. So we always served really good wine. But you can, if you're sufficiently interested, you can go out and you can find fabulous wine at good prices and stick your own label on.
Well, now you tell me about your wonderful wine by the glass, Michael. I always used to buy the bottle and then another one and then another one. But before we go, Mike Schüssler, you wanted to come in.
Just one thing that I know of restaurants and little groups of restaurants where I think the marketeers of bad wines have arrived. I think there must be a way for people like Michael and you and whoever who know about wines to get in there and make money. where you get maybe a kickback from the wine farm on a reasonable basis or whatever. Because if wines have a, if a restaurant has a lower end, middle end, and higher end priced wines in a few categories and that are good wines overall, they will attract more clients and they will do better and they will be seen better and they're going to do better out of it. So it must help the restaurant, it must help the wine industry, but some of the marketeers or salespeople walking around there are worse than used car salesmen, and that's saying a lot.
Well, Mike, if I really wanted kickbacks, I'd probably join the government tender organization.
Oh, yeah, no, I've tried that now a few times, but I've not been successful.
Oh, well, better luck next time. And Jeremy, I think you had a final word, or 20?
As a final word, you know, I have a daughter living in London, and you know, from time to time she photographs wine lists and sends them to me. And the other weekend she sent me a list, and the house wine started at, I think it was £17, and then it went through a whole range of almost classic international wines, Sancerre, Rioja. The bottom line was a South African wine, Speenskop, and it was a Speenskop Riesling, and it was, I think it was 2013, and the price was £70, £70. And she sent me the photograph, and there was the wine list. And as Michael says no, and I said no, I don't know, Michael, you might know how much it goes for. I'm guessing, and I am guessing, about 180 rand or something like that. But here was a South African wine being marked up how many times by a British restaurant?
Yeah.
Well, on that final one word from Michael Olivier, we must bring this podcast to a close. We've tried a couple of really enjoyable wines, 3.5 for the white, and I think 4 or 5 for the red.
Out of 5.
Out of 5. Actually, make it 4.5 because I'm forgetting Michael Olivier for the white. Michael, forgive me for forgetting you. You are, as I said earlier, unforgettable and inimitable.
Thank you.
Your wisdom, wit, and choice of wines has once again astounded me. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Thank you, John. And to our studio tasters in Joburg, to Malcolm McDonald, Jeremy Sampson, and Mike Schussler, thank you too for your wit, wisdom, input, and putting up with all my really good jokes. I'm John Fraser, and that was Divine Intervention.